Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we talk about the current state of desktop audio and a new product from Creative looking for a customer. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain. We've talked about motherboards quite a bit on the Hardware Asylum Podcast. Yes, that's something that I love to review. I love messing with motherboards. I like seeing what goes into them and inevitably what comes out of them.
All right.
And lately, most of the onboard sound on motherboards is really just a USB something. You know, you'll have like a line out, which you can use for headphones, and then a line in that you can use for a microphone, and then a spit-if, which is the optical.
If you buy a high enough one, you can get sometimes audio ins and audio outs, but really the trend seems to be moving away from full surround sound because everybody's buying USB headphones, right?
Right. Well, and that's the justification I put into the review is that, well, the onboard audio kind of sucks. I can't test it the way that I normally test it because the software doesn't work with Windows 11 anymore, which is kind of stupid. But the fact that you can't plug in front stereo, rear stereo, subwoofer, center channel, and then have the software figure out where to send your audio kind of tells me that, well, there's a big shift in the market.
And it's interesting you say that because there is a big shift in audio in theaters, for example. I mean, we've got new technologies. We got your new Atmos. You've got, what is it, HDR sound now. Mm-hmm. And you would think that the PCs would want to do this. And it makes me think, Dennis, that the concept of a home theater PC, which we used to talk a lot about and used to maybe is the key term, is kind of dead. I mean, is anybody building PCs anymore to vend content to their TV and their home theater?
Well, no, I don't think so. Well, and the reason I say that is because we have this little device, and you put me on to this, actually, the Fire Stick.
Oh, yeah.
And the Fire Stick basically has, you know, it's from Amazon, and it's a content device. It's basically like a cell phone plugs into an HDMI port on your TV, with the assumption that you have your TV hooked up to your surround sound speaker system or even or using a sound bar or something. So that is how you can get your home theater content delivery.
Very cheaply too, because I mean, you can get even the 4K ones so cheaply, especially if you watch for a sale. I mean, even I have a couple of those laying around and I use my PlayStation to vend most of my content.
Yeah. But with that device, you don't need to have a home theater PC because the whole reason for the home theater PC was not, well, some of that, I guess, was to play games and stuff like that on your big screen.
Right.
But really, it was so that you could play movies in surround sound. If you didn't have a Blu-ray player for your home theater setup, you would definitely have one for your computer and you can put in your Blu-ray movie and play surround sound stuff. But you can't even buy Blu-rays at Best Buy anymore.
No.
So there's been this
shift. It's become a niche product.
Yeah. There's been a major shift from physical media and devices to media as a service or movies as a service. Or we're going to rent it off of Amazon and just play it this way.
I hope that resurges because I like to own my content. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I wanted to go watch a movie on streaming. And I can't find it. So you Google, what service is showing, you know, movie X? Nothing.
Well, and this is the part that gets me. It's like, we know that movie X exists.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people that don't see it on Netflix or whatever won't even know that that movie was ever made.
Oh, yeah. And this, like, movies have a fixed shelf life, which really kind of bugs me as an enthusiast of so many different things. But I love to watch good movies. And some of them on repeat. I'm not going to lie. Love great surround sound, great story, great visual. You know, I mean, as an example, like the original Jurassic Park, I probably watch it a couple times a year. Not just because it's fun, but it's gorgeous and it has phenomenal sound.
And that is a really big thing for home theater, obviously. And the fact that if you don't have a physical disc, you're reliant on your internet connection to give you that audio experience. So you might get 1080p or you might get 4K, but in the interest of, well, you know, video the picture portion of it is a big portion of the stream that's coming down.
Right.
The audio portion of it is also about the same size. You know, their terms of service, right? They want to give you the best visual experience. They're going to cut down on the audio experience.
Yeah. Oh, well, and even with the video, I mean, you're not going to get the full like Dolby Vision or any of these newer formats.
No.
Because they take too much bandwidth, and we still don't have a lot of bandwidth in the States. But no. I know we've kind of gone down a rabbit hole.
Well, and it's a good rabbit hole because it's really talking about a shift in the way audio is handled.
Right.
Now, back when, you know, we first started building PCs, there was a reason to have a surround sound system on your PC because of the home theater aspect of it, and also playing games with full surround sound. So
yeah, you definitely had a huge advantage if you had good directional sound back in the day.
And we could go down to CompUSA and pick up a 5.1 or 7.1 surround sound speaker system and set it up with our PC because we would have, you know, a discrete sound card that might have all of the audio outs. Motherboards back then had all of the audio outs. Some of the motherboards even had separate sections of the PCB dedicated to audio.
Well, and as a poor college student, I mean, you can go buy like an early Logitech or Zalman system, and you might spend $160, which, you know, is not a small chunk of change back in those days.
No.
But it was way cheaper than buying a full home theater setup.
Right. Now, with motherboards kind of saying, hey, audio, people don't care about that anymore. And so we're going to cheapen on the PHY chip we put onto the board. So now it's just basically a USB device, much like the gaming headphones that we can buy. You plug it into a USB port, you have full 7.1 surround sound.
Well, simulated, I'll give you, but good. It's pretty good.
It's not
some better than others.
Not bad. I mean, if we get the creative, the Super X-Fi, it'll make it sound like your speakers are around you, even though they're stuck to your head.
So good, Dennis.
But we don't have that real experience of actual separate speakers around. And the whole reason I'm bringing this up is because I saw a news posting on Tech Power Up.
Okay.
Which was Creative Launches Sound Blaster Audigy FX Pro.
Ooh, there's a lot of words there I like.
And so I was reading through this really quick and I'm like, wow, this is like a PCI Express 1X 7.1 analog sound card.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
that's cool.
Seems to be the discrete sound card that you could put into your PC to replace the crappy onboard audio and be able to use desktop speakers again in the way that we as enthusiasts have actually used them in the past.
Well, yeah. And I know lately we've been recommending external DACs for that process, but I mean, not everybody wants another full device and they're not cheap. Mm-mm. And I got to be honest with you, it looks tiny.
Well, yeah, it's a half height card. It comes with the half height expansion slot cover thing. So you can put it into a small form factor PC, kind of like the garage PC, the one we're recording the podcast on.
We might have to pick one up.
But the idea of this is like, I like this because I still have desktop speakers. And, you know, I did an entire YouTube series on building a subwoofer system that you would pair with other desktop speakers.
And right.
Subwoofer by itself with the headphones, that doesn't make much sense. It's kind of stupid. But I was looking into this and then I was like, well, what do other people think?
Right. I mean, because people are, I think, spoiled by simulated surround and USB.
Well, yeah, there's
it's
that.
It's cheap. It's easy.
And you know, if you have desktop speakers, the only ones you can buy are stereos these days.
Yeah, and they're usually USB 2. Oh, yeah. I see where you're going.
Yeah, so I go out to Reddit, and there's a thread that got started in the Sound Blaster official subreddit here. And it's the title. I love the title. What's the point of the new Audigy FX Pro? And it's basically a tirade of like, well, it's the discrete 7.1 sound card. He's like, how can you get those speakers unless you have, well, let's see, so I'm going to go and quote one of the last sentences here. It goes, if you want a 7.1 speaker setup today for your PC, your only two realistic options are to scavenge a 20-year-old used set or set up a custom build with a receiver, etc.
Ooh, not cheap.
And then he goes, am I missing something here or is Creative releasing sound cards for non-existent customers? And like, he brings up a good point because the motherboard manufacturers have already realized that most gamers are going to go to headphones.
Yeah.
And they've somewhat ignored people like us that have desktop speakers. And the people that do have desktop speakers have figured out other ways to power those speakers.
Well, like the external DAC, for example. But yeah, there's got to be a market for those. I mean, everybody had Logitech speakers.
Yeah.
Huh.
Everybody did.
Okay. And so now you've got me curious.
Yeah. So
what do we have out there today? I mean, what are people buying?
Well, we can look at that. Actually, we'll look at that in a second.
All right. We'll get back to that.
So looking in the Reddit replies for this post, we have a lot of people just kind of spouting off saying, oh, you guys are, you don't know what you're talking about. Some people are like, why would you want to do this? And then some people are saying Creative is trying to get rid of old cards and old chips.
Right.
But the common thread here is that you can't buy those speakers anymore. So why bother getting discrete sound cards with those ports?
Well, I know maybe we're exceptions, but I know we tend to put a discrete sound card in most of our builds. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got, you know, I think I've got an AE5 in mine, and I don't know what you've got in yours, but I know you're running one too, right?
Yeah, I have an AE5, and I've been meaning to put the AE9 in, but I can't get myself to use the control box that comes with it.
Right.
Because my speakers, my desktop speakers, already have one of those. And what I do is I plug in my headphones into that. It turns off the speakers, and then I get audio to my headphones.
Now, that's handy.
Yeah, it works out really, really well. But that's because, going to the point of this Reddit thread here, it's a 20-year-old set of speakers that just happens to still work and works really, really well.
Right. And to be fair, I think my Logitech set, although I recently replaced them with the set that we built as part of our YouTubes, mm-hmm. and we'll have to link to that. Yeah, they got to be 15 years old.
Yeah, they're a dying breed. So that gets, before we started, you were asking a question about what kind of speakers can you buy these days? Because neither of us have actually bought speakers in a long time.
No, I mean, we built our own, and I, to be fair, I've repurposed some bookshelf speakers, some really nice ones from Creative, by the way, with mine. So I'm running a 2.1 setup when I'm not using my headphones.
Yeah. So I did a quick Google search, and I found the Logitech Z607 5.1 surround sound speaker system, $130.
So that jives with about what I used to pay for Logitechs back in the day, which is kind of funny.
Now, these are kind of a pseudo subwoofer, and then you have a mid-range with a port, and then that is your center, your right left, and your right left rear. And it looks like it comes with a remote. So obviously everything is going to channel into the amplifier in the subwoofer and then spider off to the separates.
Yeah, which makes sense. Now, this isn't the only set I know that we found. This was just the one that we thought was the best for a standard budget.
Yeah, it's budget oriented.
But if you want to get modern sound, you pay a little bit more.
Right. So we have the Logitech Z906 5.1 surround sound speaker system. This guy is $450.
But that gets you into certified THX and some of the newer sound systems. And
yeah, it has a dedicated control box with volume knob and different, it looks like it has some bar lights on here, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good looking box.
But it's also a 1,000-watt system.
Yeah, well, 500 RMS, which is, I mean, that's more than a lot of folks put into their home theater systems. So maybe $449 isn't such a bad price after all.
Although I wonder about this 500 watt RMS, because that subwoofer is like a 10.
Or maybe an 8.
And a 500 watt amp is a lot bigger than that if you wanted a quality one.
Yeah, 500 RMS, I don't know, maybe we're old fashioned. Maybe they're doing it smaller now somehow.
Actually, this is probably what it is. We have 6 speakers here.
Uh-huh.
So it's probably 90 watts per speaker.
And
it's probably an extra 100 of the subwoofer and then 60 at each one of the satellites.
Ooh, yeah, maybe even less for the center. Ah, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe, yeah, that number isn't as impressive as it initially it's looked.
Bad marketing.
Well, good, because we almost missed it.
Yeah. And Darren said, hey, well, why don't we just go to ChatGPT and ask it? I'm like, really? ChatGPT? And say, oh, yeah, they got some good stuff on there.
Because everybody's using AI now, so we thought, why not see?
So its top result, because we asked it, what's the best 5.1 or 7.1 surround sound system for a desktop PC, was SteelSeries. And what's weird, SteelSeries didn't even come up in my Google search.
So SteelSeries has been making a name for themselves with high-end headphones. And I use air quotes on high-end because they are better than most, but they're not what I would consider an enthusiast line like a Sennheiser or a Beyer Dynamic or Audis or, you know, any of those, like, air quotes, real audio headsets.
And Darren is like quoting $1,000 headsets.
Yeah. You know, a lot of my friends swear by the SteelSeries headphones. So it was interesting to me that they are now making what I would say is a fairly high-end speaker system for your home PC. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I like about this is that the center channel is actually three speakers.
Oh, yeah. It's got a little tweeter, too. So you're going to get more dynamic center range, which is Ooh. Where most of your sound comes from, especially if you're gaming.
Yep. And then the surrounds are very similar. They have the tweeter and then a much larger mid-bass. The two that sit on your desk are pedestals, and the ones that are going to be behind you, it looks like they also have pedestals, but they're much shorter. Ideally, that we would hang them from the wall.
Or you know, something. Maybe have a corner desk. That's how I did it. Mm-hmm. But your front speakers, your left and rights, have a very unique thing going.
they're LED enabled.
So if you put this on the left and right of your monitor, it gives you the same immersive light effect as if you had backlighting on your monitor, which is pretty slick.
Yeah.
But does it justify a $559 setup? That's a little bit difficult to say. And you know, when they start talking about illuminating your speakers with the 16.8 million RGB as a feature, and I don't see wattage, I start to wonder.
Yeah. Well, much like that 1,500 watts that we saw at Logitech, most of the output is probably going to be faked or embellished.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So maybe SteelSeries is just holding back. But still,
you're getting immersive lighting, 3D sound. They look great.
Mm-hmm.
And I generally would argue against SteelSeries because I feel like if you spend that money, you should jump over to real audio equipment. But that's becoming harder and harder to argue.
True. And well, let's go and... let's check out what's at Crutchfield.
Ooh, okay.
All right, so I'm going to search for 5.1 surround sound speakers for your PC. So we have...
Monoprice has one. Ooh.
Well, what we're going to find at like Crutchfield is...
some weird brands out here, Rockville and Be Free, is, you know.
Yeah. Well, we have Dayton Audio. That's from Parts Express. Where is our...
Adorama has clips.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do entry level from a real brand, clips is a great place to start.
Right. And clips, I think, is going to be the easiest one to get. Although we have a Yamaha set that's at Sweetwater for almost $800.
Yeah, that's really going to be more of a home theater system.
Crutchfield is not showing up in my search. This is sad.
Adorama, they're like Crutch... And when you put Crutchfield in your search, let's force it. There's Home Depot has Be Free. Oh, they look really sketchy for $122.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Dayton Audio. Oh, that's Parts Express again.
Mm-hmm.
Crutchfield has SVS. There you go. But
yeah. SVS Prime Satellite 5.1 system. It's $12,000 or $1,200.
Oh, geez. Yeah. And for that, you might as well get, you know, a full clip system or... Mm-hmm. Or, you know, one of those more mainstream brands like, you know, SVC or, you know, I'd even go back to Monoprice.
Yeah. Well, the point is, though, once you get past a certain price point, then most gamers are going to tune out anyway.
Yeah. Because at some point, if you're spending that kind of money on home theater speakers, you probably actually have a home theater setup. And so you're not going to be using your PC for that.
No, definitely.
And I get that. So there's a good dividing factor.
Mm-hmm. From a desktop speaker standpoint, if we were to make a recommendation for people, obviously what's easy to buy is a 2.1.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2.1s are everywhere. There's a creative set that I really, really like that I use for the retro PC stuff. And it's basically got two mid-bass drivers in there. And it doesn't come with a subwoofer, which is nice because I built a subwoofer. Yeah.
Well, so same. And I'm using EMU, which is arguably the premium SoundBlaster speakers, as my desktop speakers with, again, a subwoofer setup that we built.
Right. On my current desktop, you know, this is a 5.1 Logitech system from a long time ago. I use the center channel and then the right and the left and then the subwoofer. I don't have anywhere to put the rears. And so when I set up the software, I have to set it up in actual 5.1. Otherwise, I don't get the center channel. Now, if I do a 2.1, then it turns the center channel off.
Because you only get the subwoofer. See, and I have a corner desk, which I know a lot of folks have. So if you're out there and you have a corner desk, you can push those rear speakers all the way back to the left and right of your corner desk.
Oh, and then you can kind of get the pseudo surround, huh?
You get fill. You might have to go in and adjust the volume level, but that's what I do when I set up my 5.1s. But again, it's been so long since I've done that, Dennis.
And are you using the external, like the X7 or whatever?
Yes. So, and that's the solution I use and that I try to convince everybody to do. If you don't like your onboard audio, the solution isn't a sound card for me. Mm-hmm. The solution is an external amp DAC 100% of the time. You're going to pay a little bit more up front, but you've got an external breakout box that can handle your speakers, your headphones, all that sound processing. And then it's just a question of how much money do you want to spend?
True. Now, does that interfere with your USB headphones?
No, because I don't use USB headphones.
So you plug your headphones into the external?
Yeah, I have never found a USB 5.1 or 7.1 emulator. Creatives is the best that I've tried, and I know I sound a bit like a Creative sound boy. Yeah. And it is fair. Creative Labs is probably the best PC sound manufacturer that's still in existence. Mm-hmm. But I found that the USB translation is never good enough. I'd much rather have a full processor.
Spoken like a true audio enthusiast.
Yeah, I guess so. Although, as longtime listeners will know, it's been about a year since I took my very expensive home theater system from my home theater room and replaced it with a high-end sound bar with rear surrounds and a subwoofer, and I haven't looked back.
Oh, and you see, every time I go over there, I'm saddened for you.
I know, but that's only because I have three walls. If I had four walls, I think it would be better.
Yeah. Well, you would have a proper home theater at that point.
Yeah.
Now, I have used a couple of USB headsets. One of them is the Creative G5 with the 5 Series headset. That's what I take to LAN parties, the gaming headset.
Right.
I forget what the actual name is. I'll put it down in the show notes so you can come out to hardwareasylum.com and check it out for yourself. That external DAC is USB enabled. Works great for surround sound, but you have to use the Creative software to be able to make it work properly, because it won't actually just work natively.
Don't you have like one of the X ones? Because I know I have an X4 that I bring to LAN parties because it's a lot smaller.
I want to say it's a G5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's just an amp DAC. I do a review. I will link that down in the show notes below too. So it's a pair. And I hate to admit it, but I have also tried the SteelSeries, and it comes with two sets. So you can plug a triple pole analog into your gaming console or whatever, and you can get audio. Or you can plug it into your phone and get audio. Or you can plug it into a USB processor and get the expanded audio. So you'll get the pseudo 7.1 sound. And it doesn't sound that bad, but you can tell that they fake a lot of things.
Now, see, I'm that guy where I'll be crouched in a game and I'll hear footsteps and I'll turn around to kill a guy. And I'm not joking. What immediately goes through my head and sometimes gets verbalized is, get better headphones, a-hole, because I could totally hear them and with the positional sound know exactly where they were. But again, you pay for the privilege.
So if we're going to reel this back in a little bit and get back on topic.
Okay.
You know, we talked about the Audigy FX Pro.
Right.
And I see this as a great sound card, as a replacement for, you know, the crappy motherboard audio under the assumption that the person that is building that machine has desktop speakers that they want to use.
Okay, I think that's fair. And to set expectations, that product MSRP is about $80.
Yeah, $80. And it's available now, which is pretty good because a lot of the creative products like this have really been discontinued. Like right. One of the AE5s you can't buy anymore, which is a great sound card, by the way. There's plenty of external options that are available. We'll link the creative site down in the show notes below and you can kind of peruse. But if we were to buy a product, would you buy the Audigy FX or would you recommend a different product?
You know, that's a difficult question. I mean, I have a fairly nice motherboard and you do too, because we have access to lots of motherboards. So it has okay onboard sound, but I still wouldn't use it.
Right.
But honestly, I wouldn't buy an internal sound card today at all.
So you're going to be solid into the external DAC camp.
Yeah, I think that it's not that much more money. Mm-hmm. It's a better product and, you know, you can plug it into any PC, so it's going to age with you.
Right. It's going to be USB. And that's really what the motherboard manufacturers are banking on, that people are going to be using a USB sound, either through your headset or through a DAC or something like that. Now, if you use a DAC, there are different types, obviously.
Yes.
The X7 and the replacement that you've been using, that does have speaker outs.
Yes.
But only for stereo?
No, it'll do surround sound. It's got the surround sound hookups on it, and it will do headphones, and it does low and higher output headphones. Mm-hmm. So to me, it really covers all the bases, and it does using that wonderful Creative Labs driver to do the surround sound.
So cool. Well, and if we come back to, I would be an internal discrete sound card type.
Right.
Partially because I'm not like you and have the external DACs that I can just kind of pick in place and everywhere.
Okay.
I do have one. Obviously, I talked about it before that I take the LAN parties and that has the full 7.1 sound, but it's only a headphone amp DAC. It's not for speakers. So it's a bit limiting and it works great for what I am using it for. If I'm going to do a discrete sound card, the Audigy FX Pro is going to be the low cost option.
Right.
At twice the price, actually a little over twice the price, I can get an AE5, which is going to get you much higher quality sound.
Which we both love. Check out our review.
And a better amplifier. Obviously, the Audigy FX Pro is going to be probably the same sound controller that a lot of motherboard manufacturers would normally put on a motherboard that now they're cheapening by just, we're going to cut off all of the other channels and make them just digital only. And at that point, what is it? It's like pass through. You're not even doing processing anymore.
Right. They're just counting on your external devices again.
Yeah. So if you are going to go with something like the Audigy FX Pro, you are also going to have a set of desktop speakers. And I'm going to make the assumption that this is going to be an extreme budget gaming build.
Right.
Because at that point, if you don't already have a good set of gaming headphones and you just have some speakers, it's kind of like your weekend gaming machine, but it's mostly for work or something like that. And that's kind of where I see this product going. But as we've discussed over the course of this podcast, I'm kind of agreeing with a lot that's going on with the Reddit thread.
Oh no, what is the point?
Where it's like, is this a solution to a problem that doesn't exist? Or is it to a customer that is extremely niche and also budget oriented?
Yeah, and to me, I feel like it's trying to give you a budget-friendly option if you don't want to spend $179 on a good sound card.
Right. And the part that we really haven't explored, primarily because we live in the United States, maybe this isn't a problem for the United States, but a problem for other not United States countries.
Yeah. Well, you know, let us know if this is a problem that is being solved for you. Tell us what it's doing. Why did you buy it? What's your setup? We want to know more.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2026. Thanks for listening.